Many of you may be hearing this program in your car as you travel this weekend. Others are sitting it out at home. Doyle McManus, Washington Bureau Chief for the Los Angeles Times, happened to be inside the Beltway. He's had his coffee and he's here to chat. Good morning, Doyle.
Good morning, Leanne.
What a busy political week. Two resignations from the White House, passage of a major tax bill, progress on Middle East peace, but let's start with the tax cuts. The president termed this a victory, even though the cut was smaller than he originally wanted. Is it a victory?
Well, it sure looks like a victory now. You're right. He originally asked, of course, for a tax cut around $750 billion. Said anything smaller would be a little itty-bitty tax cut. And then at the beginning of this week, seeing the Memorial Day holiday coming on, he called the leaders of Congress in and said, pass it this week. I don't care how big it is. Basically, he wanted to get the big, broad message out there that he was for a tax cut. The tax cut was supposed to refloat the economy, and by gum, he got a tax cut. And one thing George W. Bush and Karl Rove are good at is understanding that voters tend to see things in broad brushes and big impressions. Here inside the Beltway, we look at the details. We obsess over $350 billion, $330 billion. The voters are looking at this and saying, yep, that's a tax cut. He said he would do it. He did it.
The critics, however, say the deficit's going to balloon once again with these cuts. Does that then give the Democrats an issue as we run up to this 2004 presidential race?
If the economy stays dead in the water, it gives the Democrats an issue because George W. Bush now owns the economy. By the same token, if the economy gets better, George W. Bush can say that his tax cuts refloated it, whether they did or not. A lot of economists will take exception to that. The Democrats have another problem here on that deficit issue, though. They're kind of putting out mixed messages. And historically, voters have been trained to see Democrats as spenders on good things or bad things and Republicans as deficit hawks. It's very tough for Democrats to convince voters that they really do want to keep the deficit down when they also want to spend more money on things like Medicare and education.
Speaking of voters, you've talked about and written about the politics of mobilization. What do you mean by that?
Well, the other phenomenon that is going on here is that this is still a country that is split pretty much 50-50 down the middle. And the key to the last two elections, especially that midterm election in 2002, wasn't how the voters split. It was how many voters came out, particularly how many Republicans and how many Democrats. Now, that's the key to the political mystery of this tax cut. The polls show that a majority of Americans weren't thirsting for a tax cut, but a majority of Republicans were. And then the second thing that happens is a year from now, if Democrats continue to talk about freezing the tax cut, which Republicans will say means rolling it back or increasing taxes, that will get conservatives riled up big time, and they will want to come out and vote for George W. Bush and their folks. And the Democrats are going to be scrambling around looking for a way to get their people out.
Let me talk a little bit about foreign policy, because the president, who had kept kind of a hands-off approach on the Middle East, stepped in big time this time. Mr. Bush gave the Israeli prime minister assurances that he'd take Israel's concerns seriously. Prime Minister Ariel Sharon accepted the roadmap. Is this president going to be as involved in this process as his predecessor was?
Now, this is a real interesting issue because you're right. George W. Bush came in saying that Bill Clinton had made a mistake by being so personally involved. But the history of making peace trying to make peace in the Middle East is that once a president gets in, the leader of the Palestinians and the leader of the Israelis and other Arab leaders don't want to meet with anyone of lower rank. Why should they? It's a presidential issue. George W. Bush has surprised a lot of people in Congress and in the Middle East by saying he's putting a personal commitment in here to do this. He really wants to get something done. Now, doing that is a little bit like a high-stakes poker game where you have to put more in at every hand. And he's got to decide how much time, how much energy, how much prestige he wants to put into this thing, remembering that his predecessor, Bill Clinton, went all the way and took everybody up to Camp David and got handed nothing in return. So George W. Bush is going to have to know when to hold him or know when to fold him.
Doyle McManus is Washington Bureau Chief for the Los Angeles Times. Thanks so much for coming by this weekend.
Thank you, Leanne.